Chapter 6. Julian sat on a rock, reorganizing the items in his bag to keep his mind off of Tim. It wasn't working. He walked over to where Cooper and Dave were talking.
"So now what do we do?"
Cooper asked Dave, his face and voice carrying the unspoken message that he had damn well better have a plan in mind.
"You heard Julian," Dave said without much confidence. "They have no intention of killing him. They're keeping him alive for information on us."
"And what if he gives it to them? Then what? Tim's a good friend, but he's never spent a night in a dungeon before."
"What's he gonna tell them?" Dave asked. "Where we are? What our plans are? They're working under the assumption that we have a plan and a secret base of operations or something. We have the advantage of having no idea where we are or what we're doing."
Julian struggled to find any advantage in what Dave had said. He spoke up.
"So what do you propose we do?"
"We'll sneak into town and bust them out of there. Classic C&C adventure."
Cooper held out his hands, palms up.
"All right, then. Let's go."
"We can't go right now," said Dave.
Cooper put a finger over one nostril and blew a wad of dull brown snot from the other. Dave gagged at the squishy smack it made when it hit a nearby tree.
"Why not?"
Cooper asked.
"He'll have to tough it out in there for one night. We need to rest."
"Oh, I'm sorry,"
said Cooper.
"I'll tell you what. I'll run off and find a goose. We can make you a nice pillow. Tim can wait in his little dungeon till after you've had your beauty sleep."
"That's not what I meant," said Dave. "Look, we've got to make use of every advantage we have. You're injured, I'm out of healing spells, and Julian hasn't memorized any of his spells. He's next to useless if we get into a scrap. All he has to defend himself is a stick and a crossbow that he doesn't know how to use."
"I can use a crossbow," said Julian. "We went through this. Elves can use bows."
"Not crossbows."
"How hard could it be?" asked Julian. "You just point it at something and pull the trigger, right?"
"Fine," he said. "If it's so easy, see if you can shoot that tree from here."
"That little one way over there?"
"If that was a guy running at you with a sword, he'd be a lot smaller and harder to hit," said Dave. "And you'd want to hit him while he was much farther away than that."
Julian raised his crossbow with both hands, peered down the length of the shaft, and lined up his target tree. Dave started to say something, but Cooper put a hand on his shoulder and shook his head. Julian cleared his mind. Just him and the tree. 1, 2, 3. He pulled the trigger. A flash of white and a stab of pain shot through his face, radiating from a point just below his right eye. The world spun around once, and lights danced in his periphery. He staggered around and dropped to one knee. Through a haze of pain, he could hear Cooper and Dave laughing. He let the crossbow drop from his hand. A smudge of red darkened the butt.
"Fuck you guys," said Julian. "That hurt."
He ran a finger over the spot where he'd hit himself and looked at his fingertip.
"Look,"
he shouted, holding up his finger for the others to see.
"I'm bleeding."
"Grow a dick,"
said Cooper.
"You're covered in blood anyway. I don't think that little scratch is going to amount to any hit point loss."
"Where's my bolt?"
"You know that tree you were aiming at?"
asked Cooper.
"Yeah."
"Well, it's nowhere fucking near there."
Julian gave him the finger.
"I think it landed in the grass over there," said Dave.
"Well, I'm going to go get it," said Julian. "We only have a couple dozen of these."
"Good idea,"
said Cooper. He ran toward the bolt, but something he saw on the ground made him stop.
"Hey, guys," Julian shouted. "Get over here."
"What now?"
said Dave.
"Probably stepped on a pebble and wants to be airlifted to a hospital,"
said Cooper.
"You know," shouted Julian, "I can still hear you guys."
"Fuck,"
said Cooper.
"Sorry."
Cooper stomped through the trees toward him, Dave waddling behind.
"What did you want?"
asked Cooper when they had nearly reached him. When Cooper looked down and saw what Julian had found, he had to grab hold of a tree to remain standing. Julian was sure Cooper was going to vomit or shit himself again, but he managed to hold it in at both ends. He blew some snot from his nose to his upper lip. Julian winced.
"Dude, do you have a cold or something?"
"It's not my fault,"
said Cooper, wiping away the snot with his forearm.
"I'm a half-orc with a Christmas score of 4. I'm nearly as unpleasant to be around as a person can possibly be."
Dave, who was walking more slowly on his significantly shorter legs, caught up with them.
"What are you guys?" "Oh, it's him again."
The three of them looked down at the severed head lying face up, expressionless, on the ground.
Do you suppose that's what Tim came back for? Julian asked.
Why would he do that?
Asked Cooper.
Mordred spoke to us through it once. Maybe he thought we could communicate with him through this head.
He's a CM,
said Cooper.
He can talk to us through whatever he wants to.
He pointed to a tree.
If Mordred wanted to communicate with us through that tree, he could do it.
One of the tree's main branches bent down, and several of its smaller branches curled into a bunch, leaving one, in the middle, standing straight up.
See?
That's unbelievable, said Julian.
Fuck you, Mordred,
said Cooper, and shot the tree with his crossbow. The bolt hit the trunk of the tree dead center. The branch remained where it was, as if that had been the way it had grown naturally.
Okay, said Julian. I see your point. But maybe he thought this head would be a better... What's the word I'm looking for? I want to say container.
It wouldn't be a good container, said Dave, looking at the head disapprovingly. Too many holes, and it's already full.
No, that's not it. Condition... Conductor...
Conduit? Asked Dave.
Conduit! Shouted Julian. Maybe he thought it would make a good conduit. Like if we needed to ask Mordred something, or he wanted to tell us something. It would be easier to do that through a face than it would be through a tree.
Dave shrugged and pointed a thumb back over his shoulder.
I think he just told us pretty much all he wants to tell us through that tree.
Maybe, said Julian. But what else could Tim have come back here for?
Dave stroked his beard and Cooper picked his nose in silent contemplation, but neither of them came up with any answers.
Well, someone should probably carry it then,
said Cooper. Dave and Julian looked at him.
Yeah, fine,
he said.
I cut it off. It's my responsibility.
He picked it up delicately with his thumb and forefinger by the hair and held it out at arm's length.
Well, how about it, Mordred?
He said.
You in there or what?
The head's eyes came alive and looked into Cooper's. It pulled back its lips, bared its teeth, and hissed.
Bwah!
Shouted Cooper. He flung the head to the ground. A clump of hair remained in his hand. He shivered and brushed it away on his loincloth.
Dude, said Dave, be careful with that. It's not going to do us any good if you smash it to pieces.
Did you see what it just did to me?
Asked Cooper. The head had landed upside down, still facing Cooper.
You should see what I did to your mom last night, it said.
Cooper pulled back a leg to kick it, but then stopped and put his foot firmly back on the ground.
You don't want to play the mom game with me, fucker.
Just put it in your bag, said Dave.
Fine,
said Cooper. He gave the head a little kick to roll it over and grabbed it by a different patch of hair. He addressed it one more time.
You'll like it in there,
he said.
It's dark, lonely, and smells like your mother, just like home.
Your mother smells like...
The head began, but whatever it meant to say after that was muffled by it being shoved face first into the bag. Cooper put the bag on the ground and squatted over the opening.
What are you doing?
Asked Dave. Cooper looked up and grinned.
I'm gonna fart in the bag and then close it up real quick.
Are you, Julian said, are you absolutely certain that you're going to fart?
Cooper's lips pursed and his huge brow furrowed.
No,
he said.
You're right. It could just as easily be a shit. Let's go.
He stood up.
Where are we going? Asked Julian.
Back to where we left your tent, I guess.
He looked at Dave for confirmation. Dave nodded.
I think Dave is right. We'll need everything we've got to get Tim back, and we'll need the time to come up with some sort of plan.
The ease with which they found their belongings prompted Dave to suggest that they look for a better place to set up camp. They found a small stream and laid their belongings on the bank of it. Julian walked in and sank into the cold water. He'd never seen as much blood as he was now covered with, and he wanted to get rid of as much of it as he could. It was enough to taint the color of the water for a few seconds, but some of the blood had set into the fabric. Until he found a place to buy some new clothes, he'd have to be content wearing faded rusty brown. Cooper got into the water downstream from him. A good 5 or 10 minutes of scrubbing revealed his skin to be smoother than he thought it was. There were shiny hints of pink in the gray, and the scars were more plentiful and much better defined. He probably lost about 15 pounds of filth. Dave only cupped some water in his hands and splashed it on his face. His expression was all the grimmer when he rubbed the water out of his eyes.
What's wrong?
Asked Julian, sitting up in the stream.
I thought that might wake me up, said Dave. I thought that after I opened my eyes, we might be back at the chicken hut, shooting the shit and drinking beer.
They made their camp on the other side of the stream. Dave and Cooper argued about how to build a fire for about 20 minutes, but the ground was damp, and neither of them were able to produce so much as a spark with either rocks or sticks. Julian set up his tent, which would accommodate both himself and Dave. Cooper made a crude shelter out of the remains of the canvas wagon cover.
"I'm hungry," said Julian. "Do either of you have any food?"
Dave rummaged around in his bag.
"I think I bought a day's worth of rations."
He produced a small pouch and looked inside.
"Ooh, jerky. Want some?"
"Yes, that would be very..."
"I think I bought 5 days' worth of rations,"
said Cooper, looking in his own bag. Dave retracted his arm, and with it, the offer of his food.
"Good,"
he said to Julian.
"Eat some of his."
"I don't want to eat his. He's got a rotting head in his bag, and it's bound to taste like fart. No offense, Cooper."
"Fuck you, dude,"
said Cooper, happily munching away at his own bag of dried meats and fruits.
"Tastes great to me. If you'd rather starve to death, be my guest."
Julian's stomach rumbled, as if to tell him to quit moaning and put something in it.
"Fine," he said. "I'll eat your fart rations."
"Don't do me any favors,"
said Cooper.
"Dave, do you remember the last time you had such good jerky?"
"That would have to be..." Dave paused to think. Sometime around..."
Another pause. He scratched his head.
"Never. Have you tried the dates?"
"Delectable,"
said Cooper, holding one in front of his face to look at it fondly before popping it into his mouth.
"Screw you guys," said Julian. "Come on, Cooper, just give me something to eat."
"You didn't say the magic word."
"Fuck you."
Cooper tossed him a bag.
"That's actually the magic word I had in mind. I was going to hold out until you said it."
"What a big surprise,"
said Julian, and tore away a chunk of meat with his teeth. The taste of fart was present, but not overpowering.
"So," said Dave, "what's the plan?"
Cooper shrugged his massive shoulders.
"Bust in, get Tim, bust out."
"That isn't a plan."
"It's the only one that's been proposed so far."
Julian carefully removed the remaining contents of his bag.
"Let's see what we've got to work with."
He had a water skin, 9 flasks of oil, and 10 torches.
"I wouldn't mind making use of a few of these torches. They're really bulky."
"We could burn down the outer wall,"
suggested Cooper.
"How do you propose we do that?"
asked Dave.
"We couldn't even get a campfire going."
"What do you guys have in your bags?"
asked Julian.
"Not much," said Dave. "I spent most of my gold on weapons and armor. The rest of it I spent on the bag itself and this food."
Julian looked at Cooper.
"Same here,"
said Cooper.
"Barbarians travel light. I've got a dude's head and some more food."
"Nobody really has a good idea what we look like, do they?"
asked Julian.
"I don't know," said Dave. "I'd say quite a few people could pick Cooper out of a lineup after seeing him cut that guy's head off."
"That's right," said Julian thoughtfully. "They'd know him. In fact, they'd probably just kill any half-orc who turned up. But until we hopped onto that wagon, there was only one person who would have given me or you a second glance, and his head is in that smelly bag."
"You don't think anyone saw our faces?"
"Not enough to recognize us, I wouldn't think. I mean, they know to be on the lookout for a dwarf, an elf, and a half-orc traveling together. But if you and I went in separately, I don't think we'd run into any trouble. Cooper would have to stay here, of course."
"All right," said Dave. "I see where you're going with this."
"To what end?"
said Cooper.
"What do you mean?"
"Okay, let's say you get through the gate and into this town. What are you going to do then?"
Dave frowned.
"We'll get a layout of the land. Scout out the location of the prison. Look for weaknesses in the security. Inquire about..."
"Fuck all that. Tim doesn't have that kind of time."
"So what do you suggest?"
"Burn that shit down,"
said Cooper, who sounded exasperated at having to repeat himself.
"Oh," said Dave. "You are serious about that?"
"Fuck yeah, I'm serious. You see any obvious flaws in the plan so far?"
"Aside from us not being able to start a fire?"
"Yes, aside from that."
"Well," said Dave in mock thoughtfulness, "there's the small point of burning down a fucking city."
"I'm not talking about lighting up a church full of children. Just part of the outer wall. It's a fucking fence. They can build it back in a day or two."
"Fine. After we call a massive amount of attention to ourselves, provided we're able to start a fire, of course, and we're staring at a burning wall, then what do we do?"
"I'm working out the details,"
admitted Cooper.
"Anyway, it's more than you've come up with."
"I'm working on something," said Dave defensively. "I just haven't fleshed it all out yet."
Let's hear what you got so far.
All right, said Dave. How about this? We go up the road leading out of town a bit and hijack a wagon. Cooper and I hide in the back, and Julian drives it into town. Cooper nodded silently. Why do I have to drive the wagon? Asked Julian. I'd much rather be hiding in the back.
Somebody has to drive the wagon.
Well, we're hijacking it. The odds are good that it will already have a driver.
Do you want to trust our lives to someone we just stole a wagon from?
No.
Look, said Dave patiently.
You've got the highest charisma score of any of us, and you've got the diplomacy skill. If anyone's going to get us through the checkpoint, it's you. But I've never played this game before, said Julian. I don't know how to use the diplomacy skill.
It's not like setting the timer on a microwave, said Dave. It's just a skill you have, something you're naturally good at. Some people are good at juggling or knitting or playing the piano. You're good at talking to people, getting them to do what you want.
Right now, said Julian, I'm trying to talk you into not making me drive the wagon. How am I doing with that?
You're failing miserably, said Dave, smiling. But you make a fantastic argument. The very fact that I nearly considered it is proof that you are indeed a skilled diplomat. Cooper, what do you think?
I'm with you, Dave, said Cooper. He has me almost entirely convinced he's going to fuck this whole thing up. That's skillful diplomacy if I ever saw it. I have every faith in him.
Why do I feel like I've just been... Julian's eyes widened. What was that?
What was what? Asked Dave.
I thought I heard something.
It was probably just a...
Dave disappeared in a flash of spotted yellow fur bearing sharp white teeth. He was just able to get his arm up in time to give the creature something other than his face to bite. Cooper and Julian jumped to their feet.
Motherfucker!
Shouted Cooper. What's going on? Shouted Julian.
Random encounter,
said Cooper.
Just a leopard. Shouldn't be a problem.
Get it off me!
Shouted Dave. He lay on the ground with one bleeding arm caught firmly in the leopard's mouth. His teeth had torn through the metal scales of his gauntlet, through the padding underneath, and through at least enough flesh to bring forth a disturbing amount of blood. Its forepaws raked over his armor on his chest, searching for somewhere to take hold. Dave's other hand groped around on the ground in search of his mace. Cooper roared as he brought his great axe down, swiping the leopard across the back, knocking it off Dave entirely. Leopard blood splattered all over Julian. Dave backed away from it on hands and feet, like a crab. The great cat snarled and growled at the trio. Its face was caked and dripping with Dave's blood, and it had an axe wound in its back that looked like it should have had more than severed the beast's spine.
How is it still moving? Asked Julian.
It's still got at least one hit point, said Cooper. It can keep fighting until it reaches zero.
Julian drew his sword and held it toward the leopard. The blade shook in front of him.
Now stay back!
The leopard let out a high feline scream and charged at Julian. Julian dropped to the ground just as the leopard jumped into the air to pounce on him. He thrust his sword upward and caught the cat in the belly. It gave out one last cry of pain as it collapsed. Its eyes glazed over, and the last of its life gurgled out in a red puddle around it.
Dave, are you okay?
Asked Cooper. Dave shivered as he attempted to remove what remained of the gauntlet from his lower arm. He clenched his teeth and pulled it away in one go.
Yow!
He said, tears suddenly squirting out both of his eyes and running down the sides of his face. He tossed the shredded metal glove away. It had done him all the good it was going to do.
No, I'm not fucking okay. Look at my arm!
The space just below Dave's elbow and above his hand was a bloody, fleshy mess.
How bad is it?
I don't know, Cooper, he said. I'm not a doctor, but on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd rate it pretty fucking bad.
Score 1 kill for the wizard,
said Julian. Having already stood at death's door earlier in the day, he wasn't all that worked up about Dave's arm. He pulled his sword out of the leopard's body.
No way, dude,
said Cooper.
That kill belongs to me. I dealt a shit ton more damage with my axe than you did with your faggy little sword.
He was still fighting after you hit him with your axe, Julian argued.
This faggy little sword of mine eviscerated that motherfucker.
Fuck you guys, said Dave.
What do you reckon leopard tastes like?
Asked Cooper.
I wouldn't think it'd be very good, said Julian. I read that carnivore meat doesn't taste very good at all.
Still, might be worth a try. Who knows when you'll get another chance to eat leopard?
Let's get Tim back first, said Julian. If this is still here after we come back, and it isn't riddled with maggots or anything, we'll all have a good old-fashioned leopard cookout.
Fuck that,
said Cooper.
I'm at least gonna take its skin off now.
What are you gonna do with its skin?
I'll make something out of it.
Like what?
I don't know. A new bag or a new loincloth. Maybe both if there's enough skin.
Do you know how gay you would look with a matching leopard skin bag and loincloth? Even Dave's grimace of pain broke into a laugh. He looked really bad. Sweat covered his forehead and blood dripped rapidly from his wound into a puddle below where he held his arm up.
I've got an idea,
said Cooper.
Do you have a dagger?
Julian shook his head. I couldn't afford one.
Dave, you got a dagger?
Wincing, he jerked his head backwards in the direction of his bag. What do you need a dagger for? Asked Julian.
Leopard skin,
said Cooper.
Fuck you, said Dave.
Seriously, man, said Julian. That's not cool. He's in pain.
It's for him,
said Cooper. He looked over the carcass, grabbed one of the forepaws, and held it up. He looked back at Dave, and then down at the paw, nodding to himself, and then jabbed a hole as close to the shoulder as he could. Blood ran slowly and smoothly from the puncture. Then he sawed at the hole, cutting all the way around the leg. He pulled it down over the leg like a sock turned inside out. Julian closed his eyes and breathed deeply until the urge to vomit passed. He went and sat next to Dave, whose arm still had at least some skin left on it. Dave took in a deep breath, held it, and then spoke.
What is Cooper doing?
I don't know, said Julian. As far as I can make out, he's just mangling that leopard corpse. Cooper made another puncture in the skin and cut around the circumference of the joint just above the paw. He sawed away until he had completely separated the tube of flesh from its former owner. He dipped it in the river and wiped away the blood. Then he turned the tube inside out and gave a self-satisfied nod to the finished product. He walked back to where his friends were sitting.
Hold him still,
said Cooper. Dave closed his eyes tight, continuing to hold out his injured forearm, and Julian held it steady by the elbow.
This may sting a bit, Dave,
said Cooper. And without another word, he shoved the leopard's leg skin as hard and quickly as he could over Dave's fist, down his arm, to the elbow.
Yow!
Dave screamed.
How does it feel?
Asked Cooper.
It hurts, like a bastard.
Cooper frowned.
Oh.
But it's not half as bad as it was before.
The spotted furry skin fit snugly down the length of his forearm. He opened and closed his hand, just to make sure that he could, and looked at his forearm muscles move under his new sleeve.
Thanks, Cooper.
It looks badass, added Julian.
Do you think it's really okay?
Asked Dave.
It's skin, ain't it?
Said Cooper.
All it needs to do is keep your blood from leaking out until tomorrow morning, and then you can heal yourself.
Why does he have to wait until tomorrow morning? Asked Julian.
He has to pray for his spells every day,
Cooper explained. Why can't he pray for some spells right now? It's not like we're busy.
He needs to choose a certain time of day to pray. He chose dawn.
You mean he has a scheduled appointment with God?
Something like that, said Dave. Look, I know it's only mid-afternoon, but we ought to see if we can't get some sleep right now. I'm pretty sure I'll be able to sleep. The sooner we sleep, the sooner we can go after Tim.
I'm fucking knackered,
said Cooper. I'm not actually tired at all, said Julian. Well, that's not exactly right. I am tired, very tired as a matter of fact, but not what you'd call sleepy.
Good,
said Cooper.
You can take first watch.
What should I?
Just stay awake and keep your eyes open for leopards and shit. If there are any problems, wake us up.
Oh, all right. I can do that. Dave fell asleep almost immediately. Cooper stayed up for a while with Julian. He tried to skin the rest of the leopard and had better success with some parts of it than with others. He left behind a mutilated carcass that neither of them cared to look at. Then he cleaned the bits of skin he thought were salvageable and threw the carcass into a clump of overgrowth.
Do you think we should take a look and see how bad he's hurt? Asked Julian.
Christ, no,
said Cooper.
Let the guy rest. You think he's going to be able to sleep if we were trying to pull that leopard skin off his arm?
I wasn't talking about looking at his arm. Cooper looked at him quizzically. I meant maybe we should take a look at his character sheet.
Oh, right,
said Cooper. I mean, if that's okay. I don't know the rules. Are you supposed to look at one another's character sheets?
We're beyond the game, and beyond the rules of etiquette. We should take a look at Tim's as well, see how he's holding up.
Dave's sheet revealed that he had lost a total of 6 hit points. That's not so bad, is it? Asked Julian.
Well, it's more than half of his life for an arm wound.
Sounds worse when you put it that way, How's Tim doing?
Not so hot. He's at 2 points below zero.
Does that mean he's...
No,
said Cooper.
It's still all non-lethal damage.
But I thought he was supposed to gain that back over time. He's worse off now than he was before.
Yeah, he probably woke up and they kicked him again or something.
That's not good, said Julian, not at all comforted by Cooper's speculation what Tim was going through.
If they've kept him alive this long without doing any real damage to him, he should be okay until we can get to him. It's probably better for him to sleep through as much of that as he can.
There was a certain logic to that, and Julian guessed it was better to think about things that way than to worry, considering the amount of good either option was going to do for Tim.
Hey!
Said Cooper, in an unexpectedly bright tone of voice.
I just thought of something.
Julian looked at Cooper expectantly.
We just fought a leopard.
Well done, said Julian. I seem to have a vague recollection of that myself. You say you only just thought of that?
Fuck you,
said Cooper, much to Julian's relief. He was still Cooper.
We should look and see if we got any experience points from it.
Cooper and Julian each looked at their own character sheets. I've got 875 points, said Julian. Is that good?
Yeah,
said Cooper.
That's pretty close to second level. I've only got 725.
Why do you have less than me?
Because you had your nose up Mordred's ass at the beginning of the game.
Oh. The afternoon was beginning to fade into evening. Cooper stretched out his huge gray arms and thumped himself on his broad, bare chest.
Well, I'm going to turn in. Go ahead and wake me up if you get sleepy. Let Dave get as much rest as he can. If you hear anything out of the ordinary, though, wake us both the fuck up right away.
Okay, said Julian. Good night. Julian walked around the camp, looking for something to occupy his mind with, and came up short. He sat down on a rock, and his eyes fell upon his bag. Maybe there was something in there worth looking at. He looked inside and found a large book and a small drawstring leather pouch. He opened the pouch. It was full of something that looked like birdseed. Was that some food that he had forgotten buying? He took out a pinch of it and put it in his mouth. He spat it out immediately. He had never tasted birdseed before, but always imagined it would lean more toward bland than outright offensive to the tongue. Hopefully, the book would offer more in the way of time-killing opportunities. He took a seat on the ground under a part of Cooper's canvas shelter. As if he had had his own personal alarm system, Cooper farted at him. Julian's eyes stung and watered, but he was determined that he was going to have a look at this book. It might be something important. He opened it and found a bunch of hieroglyphs on the first page. Great, he said glumly. A bag of shitty-tasting birdseed and a book I can't read. He looked back down at the page and found that the glyphs weren't entirely unfamiliar to him. The longer he stared, in fact, the more familiar they got. He stared for about a full minute before he was able to start forming words in his head. It was an instruction manual of some kind, but the instructions themselves looked far too complicated to remember and follow. It was full of words he wasn't sure he'd be able to pronounce properly, and gestures that he was almost certain he would never be able to do, at least not right now. He was too tired for this shit right now. He'd have another look at it in the morning, maybe. He closed the book and walked back over to his bag. Just birdseed now. Julian jumped when he heard a muffled noise come from Cooper's direction. Something moved in Cooper's bag, like a small animal was stuck in there. Poor thing. Bad enough to be stuck in anything belonging to Cooper, but when you considered what he was keeping in there... Shit! That's what was moving. The soldier's head. Mordred? He opened Cooper's bag and picked up the head by one ear. The face didn't look happy. It took a deep breath in. Into what, Julian had no idea. It wasn't connected to any set of lungs that he could see. Its eyes darted back and forth until they met Julian's. Scratch my nose? It said. Julian punched it in the nose. He couldn't get a lot of force behind the punch without risking either losing hold of the ear or ripping it off entirely, but he got his point across. I suppose you think I deserve that, said Mordred. What do you want? Asked Julian. He considered demanding that he bring them back home, but suspected he knew what kind of answer he was likely to get, and didn't think he'd be able to resist smashing this head into an unrecognizable pulpy mess upon getting it. Just wanted to help a bit, said Mordred. You being new to the game and all, I thought you might have some questions. Julian couldn't resist. When are you going to let us come home? Said Mordred. I mean game-related questions. Julian considered punching Mordred in the head again, but decided that he'd better take whatever kind of help he could get. To avoid any further temptation, he placed the head in a tree where a branch forked up toward the trunk. "Fine," said Julian. "How do we get Tim back?"
"That's up to you."
"Well then, fuck you."
"Nothing else you'd like to know?"
"Like what?"
"Like, what's in that little pouch, for instance?"
Julian looked back at his bag and then at the head in the tree again.
"The bird seed?"
"Did you buy bird seed at the beginning of the game?"
"No."
"Then why do you think you have a pouch of bird seed?"
"Because I fucking looked at it, shithead."
"What did you buy at the beginning of the game?"
Julian thought.
"I bought a longsword and a tent."
"Yes," said Mordred. "Go on."
"And a backpack and some arrows?"
The head in the tree rolled its eyes.
"Yes, of course. Mustn't forget the arrows. Where would you be now without those arrows? What else?"
"Nothing else," said Julian. "I couldn't afford anything else. I was so broke that you just went ahead and gave me..."
The head smiled.
"That's right," it said. "What did I give you?"
Julian thought,
"I don't remember."
The head sighed.
"Why don't you look on your character sheet?"
"Okay," said Julian.
He pulled out his character sheet and looked at his inventory. It wasn't a long list, and he soon ruled out everything but...
"Bag of magical shit?"
"That's all you wrote down?"
"Yeah."
"Do you remember what it was for?"
"No," said Julian. "But I remember it was supposed to have been expensive. $100 or something."
"Gold pieces."
"Whatever, dude. It's fucking birdseed. What kind of finicky-ass birds do you have around here?"
"Just spread it around on the ground and see what happens."
Julian went back to his bag, grabbed the pouch, and dumped it on the forest floor. He looked over at the head.
"There. Satisfied? Have I completed the mission? Can we go home now?"
"Look,"
said Mordred. Julian looked. The pile of seed glowed with a faint green light.
"Shit," said Julian. "It's radioactive? I put some of that in my mouth. Am I going to be okay?"
"It's not radioactive," said Mordred. "It's magical. Just watch it, all right?"
Julian watched. A chipmunk scurried out from behind a tree, looked at the pile of seed, looked up at Julian, and then back down at the seed, as if he were assessing the amount of danger he would be getting himself into by coming too close. In the end, he decided it was worth the risk. He approached the pile, nibbled a bit, and then ran off. It appeared to have a similar opinion of the taste of the stuff as Julian had.
"It tastes like shit. I figured out that much for myself."
"Shut up and keep watching."
A rat came up and sampled a bit.
"Oh, shit," said Julian. "There are rats out here?"
"Don't like rats?"
"No," said Julian. "Who the hell likes rats?"
"Fine,"
said Mordred. The rat scurried away.
"What do you think about snakes?"
As Mordred spoke, a tiny viper slithered up to the pile and licked at some of the seeds.
"Hate them," said Julian.
"Toads?"
A fat brown toad hopped up to the seed, shot its tongue out, and plucked a little from the pile.
"Ew,"
said Julian. The head sighed. The toad convulsed, inflated its neck, and spit out the little bits of seed it had taken in. It hopped off.
"I think I'm going to throw up," said Julian.
A black bird flew down from a tree, landed next to the seed, and stared up curiously at Julian.
"Do you hate ravens, too?"
asked Mordred. Julian shrugged.
"No," he said.
"To tell you the truth, I've never given them too much thought, one way or another." He stared back down at the bird.
"Good enough for me," said Mordred.
The raven stepped closer on his skinny black legs, rose its wings up defensively, and let out a small caw. Julian crouched down, enamored with the bird, and hoping it wouldn't fly away. He smiled.
"Go ahead, little guy. Give it a try if you want."
The black bird pecked at the seed. To Julian's surprise, it didn't immediately fly away. In fact, it seemed to actually like the stuff. It pecked down again and again. It flapped its wings furiously and buried its head inside the pile.
"Jesus Christ," said Julian. "When's the last time this thing had a meal?"
The bird went on eating and eating, and the pile of glowing seed grew smaller and smaller. It didn't seem possible for it to eat so much food in one sitting.
"It's ravenous," said Julian.
He shut his eyes tightly in a disgusted expression.
Oh my God, did I just say that?
Good one, Mordred chuckled.
Julian was glad that he was the only one awake to have heard it. The raven kept pecking away until every speck of seed was gone. It stared up at Julian with shiny black eyes, then it fell on its back and started to convulse. It kicked its legs and flapped its wings in a frenzy. The wing flapping had the additional unnerving effect of throwing its body back and forth on the ground. It cawed sharply and twisted its neck from side to side.
Oh, shit, said Julian. It's dying.
Give it a second, said Mordred.
The bird seemed to calm down after a moment, still twitching here and there, but maintaining enough control to stand upright once more. It spread its wings out, and its body shivered. All of its feathers stood up simultaneously. It opened its beak wide, but no sound came out. A couple of feathers flew off of its back into the breeze, and it gave one last horrible convulsion. Feathers flew everywhere. It lowered its head and flapped its wing as hard as it could without leaving the ground, surrounding itself in a cloud of discarded feathers. As hard as it flapped, and as many feathers as it rid itself of, it never seemed to run out of them. It was as if it were growing new ones. Actually, it wasn't just growing new feathers. It was growing. Just growing. It grew to half again its previous size. It was more like a black falcon now. It stretched out its wings one more time, opened its beak wide, and burped.
Feel better now, big guy? Asked Julian.
Indeed I do, master, said the bird. Thank you very much.
Julian jumped. It wasn't exactly the fact that the bird spoke to him that startled him. He'd been through a lot in the past couple of hours, and a talking bird just seemed par for the course. What threw him off was the way that it spoke to him. It sounded British?
Did that bird just...
He turned to look at the head, but fell silent when he saw it. It was as lifeless as one would expect a severed head in a tree to be. Mordred was gone. The head in the tree sat staring through glazed eyes at nothing. Julian gave it a light punch in the nose, just enough to knock it out of its position in the tree and onto the ground. He once again lifted it by the ear and carried it back to Cooper's shelter. His initial intention was to put it back in Cooper's bag so they wouldn't forget it. But when he considered the likelihood of them forgetting it if he placed it in the line of fire of Cooper's ass, and weighing it against the likelihood of it coming back into being as Mordred just as Cooper was farting, or even having an involuntary shit in his sleep, he was willing to take that risk.
You can talk?
Julian asked the raven when he returned.
Of course, sir,
responded the raven.
What's your name?
The bird gave an ear-splitting caw, followed by two small chirps. Julian cringed at the sound.
I don't think I'm going to be able to pronounce that.
I'm yours to command, sir, said the bird. Call me by whatever name you like.
Julian thought for a moment, but the idea at the forefront of his mind wouldn't see to run her up.
What do you think of Ravenous?
Very clever, sir.
No, it's really not, said Julian. I just thought...
No, I get it, sir, said Ravenous. It's a play on words. I'm a raven. And when you saw me eat all that food, you must have thought I was ravenous. It's brilliant.
Julian lowered his head.
Yeah, it's a stupid pun, but I thought...
Not stupid at all, sir. Supremely clever.
Thank you,
said Julian, not feeling like he deserved this level of praise.
There was that, but I also thought it sounded like kind of a badass Latin-sounding name for a raven. You know, intelligent and fierce.
Ravenous stepped back and brought his wings forward over his chest.
Is that what you think of me, sir?
He looked as though he might stumble and fall over.
Well, look at you, said Julian. You're bigger than any raven I've ever seen. And as far as intelligence goes, well, I think you might be on par with my friend Cooper over there. No offense.
I can only dream of being the bird you think me, master.
Another thing, said Julian, I'd rather you not call me master.
But sir!
Yeah, interrupted Julian. I don't want you to call me sir either.
It would be highly irregular and inappropriate, if I may say so, for me to address you as anything but...
How does this work?
Asked Julian. He thought for a moment.
Okay, how about this? As your master, I command you not to call me master.
Well played, sir.
Or sir.
Shit!
Ravenous jerked his head up.
1,000 pardons, sir. I mean...
Julian laughed.
You'll fit in well here. My name's Julian. Just call me Julian.
He explained their situation to Ravenous as best he could, starting with his transportation to this world and ending with the leopard fight.
That is a fascinating story, Julian.
Thank you, said Julian. What do you think about our plan for rescuing Tim? Does it sound feasible to you?
It's a brilliant plan, sir, said Ravenous. Completely flawless. I don't see how a single thing could go wrong.
Who the fuck are you talking to?
Asked Cooper, scratching his ass with one hand and wiping his closed eyes with the thumb and forefinger of the other. He walked over to the tree where Mordred had been perched and lifted the front of his loincloth to urinate on it.
I'm sorry, said Julian. Did I wake you?
Not so much you,
said Cooper,
as some damn squawking bird.
He shook his member dry, coughed up some phlegm into a puddle of his piss, and turned around to face Julian.
What the fuck is that?
This is Ravenous, said Julian. Then addressing the bird, Ravenous, Cooper.
Cooper blinked his eyes a few times.
Seriously? You called her Ravenous? That's gay as fuck.
Your mom's gay as fuck.
So you got your familiar, did you?
Cooper asked Julian.
I suppose so, said Julian doubtfully. Is that what you are? He asked Ravenous.
I beg your pardon, sir?
My familiar?
Oh, yes, sir, said Ravenous. And quite proud of it.
Yeah,
said Cooper, contorting his face and putting his hands over his ears.
Can you shut that thing up?
I would have thought you'd be impressed.
You've got a big bird,
said Cooper.
I'm impressed, but I'm also fucking tired.
Big? Asked Julian. That's what you're most impressed by?
Cooper looked at his friend thoughtfully.
What? Does it do tricks?
It fucking talks, you dolt.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does, said Julian. We've been chatting away for the better part of an hour.
Dude, are you okay? Was that crossbow bolt laced with something?
Ravenous, said Julian. Please state your name for my friend here.
Ravenous, said Ravenous.
Julian looked smugly up at Cooper, who was wincing again.
Satisfied?
Seriously?
Asked Cooper.
How do you get Ravenous out of blah, blah, blah?
He spoke as clearly as I'm speaking to you now.
He just screamed like a car horn.
You're insane.
You're the one talking to a bird,
said Cooper.
Listen, you can't actually talk to your familiar until you go up a few levels. What you got now is an empathic link. Maybe that's stronger than I'd always imagined it was, but it's not.
He fucking talks.
No,
said Cooper.
He doesn't.
Ravenous? Said Julian. What's your favorite color?
I'm rather partial to lavender.
Cooper laughed.
His favorite color is...
He said lavender.
Fuck, that's worse.
They were interrupted by a loud moan from inside the tent.
God damn it,
shouted Dave, crawling out of the tent on two knees and one hand. Who's raping a cat out here?
Julian's got a pet bird,
said Cooper.
Oh, yeah? Said Dave.
He looked over and saw Ravenous.
Fucking A.
Ravenous, this is Dave.
Pleased to meet you, sir. My name is Ravenous, and as I expect you already know from my master's introduction...
shouted
Dave, covering his ears.
Make it stop.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Asked Julian. He was just introducing himself.
He thinks the bird can talk,
Cooper said to Dave.
Oh, yeah? Said Dave. What are his vocal cords made of? Chalkboards and forks?
You guys are dicks, said Julian. Go back to bed.
I'd love to, said Dave. Just stop stabbing that poor thing so we can get some sleep.
Dave and Cooper went back to sleep. Julian sat down with Ravenous on his arm.
I don't know what's wrong with them, said Julian, but I guess we'd better pick up this conversation again in the morning. Get some rest.
Ravenous nodded, hopped down onto Julian's lap, and nestled to sleep. Julian sat with his back against one tree and faced another. He spotted a beetle crawling up the trunk and stared at it. A few hours later, he was surprised to find that it was completely dark outside. Had he dozed off? No. He could clearly remember the entire span of time. He'd just been staring at this tree. He'd always been a daydreamer, but this was different. He hadn't even been thinking about anything, just staring. Anyway, he felt refreshed now. He felt like he could take another crack at that book, but not with only the starlight to read by. He could see his surroundings just fine, but it wasn't the sort of light you'd want to read a book under. Now that the clouds had moved on, the stars were out in full force. In the tiny patches of sky that he could make out through the gaps in the forest canopy, Julian saw more stars than what he thought a full sky might offer on the clearest night back home. He was tempted to make his way back to the edge of the woods and take in the sight of this full sky, but he stayed near his camp. Was this what the sky looked like before smog and electric lights? It hardly seemed possible. Julian thought that it might actually not be. He had no idea where he was, after all, and this world might just have more stars above it than the one he had come from. It might even have a couple of extra moons, or none at all. He scanned a few bits of sky for evidence of any moons. The results were inconclusive. Julian spent the next few hours being bored. After enough time had passed that he thought the other two might have had their full quota of sleep, he considered waking them up. He decided against it. They'd be better off for the extra rest. It was still too dark to properly read, but Julian felt like his head was going to explode if he didn't distract himself with something. He sat down on a rock and opened the book. He shifted around until a patch of starlight fell on the pages. This wasn't so bad, actually. He wished he'd done this hours ago. He flipped through the book to see if anything in particular caught his eye, and was surprised to find that after the first 22 pages, only about a quarter of the way through, the rest of the book was blank. He turned back to the first page. The glyphs, at first, held no meaning for him. It didn't take as much concentration this time before they started forming words in his mind. The words, in turn, were also meaningless to him, but as he focused his mind deeper, complete and comprehensible thoughts manifested themselves in his head. This pattern followed with paragraphs, until he found that the whole page culminated in a singular purpose. This particular spell would offer him a small amount of protection, a small edge in the face of certain perils. It looked as though it might come in handy, but from what he could make out in the text, he thought it was likely to fizzle out after about 1 minute. The payoff hardly seemed worth the amount of effort it would take to memorize all the complicated gestures and incantations necessary to cast the spell. He turned to the second page and found it equally disappointing. It would grant him the power to detect whether or not something was poisonous. A practical skill under the right circumstances, yes, but this wasn't the sort of thing he got into wizardry for. Julian found that the spell on page 3 would allow him to read magical writing. Well, he was already fucking doing that, wasn't he? He kept flipping. Bullshit. Bullshit. Boring. Bullshit. Oh, hell yeah, he whispered. As a child, he'd always been fascinated by magic. In more recent years, however, reality started to creep in just a bit deeper with every pizza he delivered. Pizza was real. Magic wasn't. The imagination of his youth had been squeezed out of his soul like toothpaste. But here he was, a wizard in a fantastic world, looking down at a book of spells. The spell he was looking at now put the toothpaste back in his tube. This one would send bolts of energy out of his fingertips, which would make their way unerringly to whomever he cast it at. That's what being a wizard was all about. Practicality be damned. He stood up, set the open book down on the rock he'd been sitting on, and started practicing the necessary motions and incantations. He was so deeply involved in his studies that he didn't notice Dave and Cooper walk up behind him until Cooper spoke.
What the fuck are you doing?
Julian turned his head around, his body frozen with one leg up and his arms positioned in a way that made him look like he was trying to hug an invisible giant. He relaxed into a normal standing position and turned the rest of his body around to face them.
I'll show you what the fuck I'm doing, he said. Point at something. Anything.
Cooper pointed to Dave.
No, said Julian. Bad idea. Pick something else.
Fuck,
said Cooper.
I don't know. That tree over there.
All right, said Julian with a wry smile.
He closed his eyes, shook his arms to loosen up the joints, and brought his hands together. He opened his eyes and stared fixedly at the tree.
By sulfate,
he shouted, and swung his left arm up over his head.
Ascorbic acid! Azodicarbonamide!
He raised one foot off the ground and stamped it back down.
No!
Cooper shouted.
Julian, stop!
Julian didn't stop. He thrust both hands forward, fingers stretched out.
Methylchloroisothiazolinone!
With that, the tip of his right forefinger glowed with a bright white light which grew in intensity until it burst into a glowing arrow. The arrow flew lamely towards its target in a shower of sparks, like a bottle rocket struggling against the counterforce of a small parachute. Julian lowered his arms and watched it fly. Cooper and Dave turned their heads slowly to follow the path of the projectile, hobbling the rest of the way through the air into the tree, where it fizzled into a small puff of smoke and slightly charred bark. Julian shrugged and turned to his friends.
"What do you think?" he asked.
"I think you're a fucking idiot,"
shouted Cooper. Dave shook his head.
"Well, it was somewhat less spectacular than what I was expecting," admitted Julian.
Then he grinned.
"Still, pretty cool that I can do that, don't you think?"
"Yeah,"
said Cooper.
"Pretty fucking cool. Except, now you can't."
"What are you talking about?"
"You only get to do that once per day," said Dave.
"No way,"
said Julian, smiling the smile of a man who knows something his adversary does not.
"I memorized that shit."
Dave sighed.
"Go ahead, then," he said. "Try it again."
Julian rolled his eyes and turned back toward the unfortunate tree.
"Okay, here goes."
He shook his arms again and brought his hands together. He closed his eyes and then immediately reopened them.
"Shit."
"Uh-huh,"
said Dave. He poked lightly at his leopardskin gauntlet and winced.
"I can't remember a single word of it," said Julian. "I spent an hour memorizing all that. How can it just be gone like that?"
"The magical energy flows from your mind, or something like that."
"That's bullshit," shouted Julian. "That's not the way memory works."
"That's how it works in the game,"
growled Cooper.
"It's in the rule book."
"My arm's killing me," said Dave. "I'm going to go pray for my spells."
Julian nudged his spellbook off his rock with his foot and sat down.
"So I've got to spend another hour studying that shitty spell?"
"Not today,"
Cooper grumbled.
"Why not?"
"Because you're a first-level wizard,"
said Cooper.
"And a dumb one at that."
"Watch it," said Julian. "Your intelligence score is 4 points lower than mine."
"That's why I'm not a fucking wizard."
Ravenous flew in and landed on Julian's shoulder.
"What's all the fuss?"
"Cooper's mad because I used up my only spell," said Julian.
"What'd you use it for?"
"I shot a tree."
Ravenous shifted his weight several times from foot to foot.
"Was the tree,"
he paused to find the right words,
"threatening you in some way?"
"No," said Julian. "I just never casted a spell before, so wanted to try it out."
"Congratulations!"
"Thanks."
Cooper grimaced at Ravenous. Julian pressed on.
"I don't understand why I can't just study it again," he said to Cooper. "We've got the time, don't we? I mean, Dave's going to need some time to pray or whatever, isn't he?"
"You only get to memorize your spells once per day. At first level, you only get one first level spell. A wizard can get bonus spells based on his high intelligence score. You, however, don't have a high intelligence score, which is why I advised you against being a wizard in the first place."
"But I wanted to use magic."
"I told you to be a sorcerer. You have a high enough charisma score to be a decent sorcerer."
"What does charisma have to do with sorcery?"
Cooper shrugged.
"Not much,"
he admitted.
"I think they just wanted to make another class based on charisma, because nobody wants to be a bard."
"So you're telling me," Julian said, "that if I sit here and study that same spell again, I'll be unable to memorize it?"
"That's what I'm telling you."
"But that doesn't make any sense."
"Game balance,"
said Cooper, as if that explained everything. Julian only stared back at him. Cooper sighed.
"If a wizard can keep casting every spell he knows willy-nilly, then wizard will be far too powerful. As it stands, some people already feel they're overpowered at higher levels."
"So you mean to say we're living in a world where the laws of nature, physics, and reality are governed in turn by half-baked rules some guy made up?"
"In a nutshell."
"And game balance always trumps logic?"
"Pretty much."
"So I'm pretty well screwed then. Forever doomed to be a shitty wizard."
"Nah,"
said Cooper. He slumped down against a tree.
"You can always choose to be a sorcerer whenever you get to level 2.
"You can just switch horses like that?"
"Not exactly. At least some of you will always be a shitty wizard. But you don't have to take any more levels of wizard if you don't want to. If you take a level of sorcerer at level 2, then you'll just be a level 1 wizard and a level 1 sorcerer. If you find sorcery suits you, you can keep going with it. If not, you can always take a level in something else. I wouldn't recommend spreading yourself out too thin, though."
"What do you recommend?"
asked Julian. I mean, I really should do what's best for the group. This isn't a game anymore, after all.
Go with Sorcerer. Dave and I can hold our own in a fight pretty well. Hell, so can you. But we really should have some sort of spellcaster in the party.
What about Dave?
He does clerical spells, and I have a feeling he'll be using a lot of those to heal us. The sort of spells you use are arcane, and they have a variety of different uses, not the least of which is blasting the shit out of large groups of enemies.
That's sort of what I had in mind going in. Julian looked over at Dave. Who is he praying to exactly?
Dunno. Some god or another.
And this god is just going to up and give him whatever spells he wants?
Any of the level one spells.
To what end?
Well, what do you mean?
Asked Cooper. I mean, I don't see what's in it for the god. Cooper yawned and pulled a hunk of yellow sludge out of one ear with the claw of his pinky finger. I'm sorry, said Julian. Am I boring you with talk of Dave over there actually communicating with the divine?
Kinda, yeah.
Ravenous, said Julian. Cooper here just asked me to ask you where you were hatched.
Really? Said Ravenous. He flapped down to the ground. Because, you see, it's actually a very interesting story. I was...
All right already, said Cooper. Just get it to stop squawking. What do you want to know?
Sorry, Ravenous, said Julian. I was just kidding. He doesn't really want to hear your story. Myself, I'd love to hear it. We'll swap stories later.
Very good, Julian.
Why don't you go fly around and tell us if you spot anything alarming or interesting?
Of course,
said Ravenous, and flew away into the trees.
It's really starting to creep me out how you keep talking to that bird.
So tell me more about Dave, said Julian. He's a priest or something?
He's a cleric,
said Cooper.
Like a holy warrior. He fights for his god. Think of him like a knight in the Crusades.
Fights against whom?
Anyone whose alignment opposes God, I guess.
Alignment?
Good, evil, law, chaos, that sort of thing.
What alignment is Dave's god?
I don't know,
said Cooper, with a hint of desperation in his voice.
You really should be asking him these questions. I'm a fucking barbarian. I can't read. I barely know my own name.
You can read your character sheet, Julian argued.
I think that works differently.
How so?
I don't think those character sheets are of this world. In fact, I don't think the conversation we're having right now is of this world.
I don't understand.
For example,
said Cooper.
Right now, we are having a fairly intelligible conversation. Am I right?
Okay.
My character would be unable to have this conversation with someone of this world. I'm a fucking moron.
So why can you talk like this with me?
Because when we're just alone together, part of us is still us. When we interact with anything in this world, we're strictly our characters.
I still don't understand.
Let's do an experiment,
said Cooper. Okay.
Take this stick and write a word in the dirt. I'll try to read it.
Julian pursed his lips, took the stick from Cooper, and wrote the word cat on the ground. When he finished, he looked up at Cooper. Well?
I have no fucking idea what that says.
Honestly?
No,
said Cooper.
I was lying because I thought my lack of literacy might impress you.
Julian took his character sheet out of his tube, scanned through the spells listed on the back of it, and then held it up to Cooper, pointing to a word. What does this say?
Prestidigitation,
said Cooper, unhesitatingly. That's amazing, said Julian.
Not really,
said Cooper.
It actually kind of sucks. It's just a spell for performing little tricks, like at a kid's birthday party or something.
No, said Julian. It's amazing that you can read prestidigitation on my character sheet, but you can't read cat when I write it on the ground.
You know, I was being sarcastic before when I said I was trying to impress you with my literacy.
Let's see how you do with math, suggested Julian. What do you get when you multiply...